Okay, Sunday night. Sunday night, the second shiur of the winter, Tavshin Samach Tes, the 14th shiur of Perek Dalad, Le'ilu Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Reb Nosson, whose grandson is getting bar mitzvah, mitzvah Shem, in a few days. He should have a lot of nachas from him. We learned last week, okay, he said, he's talking about how the Baal Bitochon deals with relationships. And he makes the point that people, he takes the two extremes. There's a person that's in this world who has no relationships. The person's all alone in the world. You have sometimes an older person, a man or woman who lost their spouse at an older age. At an older age, it's like, and their kids are married off. You know, I grew up on the Lower East Side. A lot of Holocaust survivors, you know, everybody made their way to the East Side, to the Lower East Side. You got off at Ellis Island, Statue of Liberty, and you came to the Lower East Side to live. And they were like broken people, many of them. I didn't realize it at the time. I was just a kid. But there were a lot of people that lived alone. A lot of people were alone. I know my mother, Leah Shalom, used to have a whole roster of women that she would visit every Shabbos. She would go with her friend, Rebbetzin Singer, and with Rebbetzin Feinstein, Reb Moshe's wife, and they would like pushed visit people. I don't know if I could say mamish literally every single Shabbos, but certainly that was the Shabbos activity, and to visit women who were alone. And there were men who were alone. A lot of them davened in my father's shul. So you're alone. Sometimes at the end of life, you're alone. Sometimes in the beginning of life, people find themselves alone. Sometimes people don't make friends easily, and they feel that they're alone. Sometimes someone can move to Eretz Yisrael, like for the first 10, 20 years, feel all alone. It used to be that way. Maybe now that's why people started moving to Ramat Beit Shemesh. But she says, how should a person deal with that? So he says, again, I'm chasering over what we learned last week very quickly. He says, so the Baal Bitochon, because Perek Dalet is applying Bitochon to life. So this is a very important part of life, relationships. This is number three. The first thing was dealing with money issues, basic sustenance. The second thing was dealing with money issues beyond sustenance. We'll call it being rich, having more than one needs. And the third area is relationships. So this first is one who doesn't have relationships. So the Baal Bitochon, so he's training the Baal Bitochon. The Baal Bitochon says, well, first of all, He says some very deep things here, very important things. We learned it last week. Everybody ultimately is really alone. He says, like, that's his thought. This is how the Baal Bitochon should think. In general, his approach is, I guess you'd call it, I said in shul 2 weeks ago that Bitochon really teaches one to have an optimistic view of life. A Baal Bitochon looks optimistically at everything. A Baal Bitochon is an optimist, because the Baal Bitochon says it's from Hashem, and it's for my good, and this is what Hashem wants, and it's for my benefit, and I know Hashem's running everything, right? So this is a challenge, this is something I can overcome. So this is what he's telling this Baal Bitochon. Because you might say, like, what does that have to do with Bitochon? Bitochon means I'm relying on Hashem. So really, he's saying the Baal Bitochon, who has developed a clarity in the reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's deciding everything that happens to him or her. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating all the situations that exist, and his goals are that they should exist, and there's no one to rely on but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's the only one that ultimately is deciding what should be. So the Baal Bitochon says, looks at it optimistically, looks at the doesn't get depressed. A Baal Bitachon will never get depressed. A Baal Bitachon, so he says, so the first thing a Baal Bitachon will say, and you say again, like, what does it have to do with Bitachon? Because a Baal Bitachon has a very finely developed sense of living with Hashem. That Hashem is there and part of his life and is directing his whole life. He's directing it. So the Baal Bitachon says, well, first of all, so that's why he thinks positively. Like the power of positive thinking, optimism, it's not a childish thing. Clear to me, the Baal Bitachon, that's why the Chovas HaLavda says at so many points in Shar HaBitachon, he says that one of the main benefits of having Bitachon is mental and emotional health. A benefit. Because it is. Because you're looking at things positively, you're putting a positive spin on things. So he says, well, the Baal Bitachon is going to say, you know, first of all, I may feel alone, and I look at this person, and this person's always surrounded by friends, and is a social, and she's always, there's always things going on, and I'm all, and me, no one understands, and I have trouble making friends. And he says, first of all, the Baal Bitachon will say, well, first of all, ultimately, everybody's alone. At the end of the day, everybody's alone. This is like the outer trappings. Just like at the end of the day, you're left with just your neshama. And, you know, everything that happens in this world is just the outer trappings. And how long are we in this world for? So he says, ultimately, everybody is alone because everybody... It's... You're like, who am I? What am I? It doesn't help you that you have a lot of friends. It doesn't help your neshama. They don't stand up to you in the Yom HaDin and say, you know, they can't help you there. It's you are stark alone with Hashem. And, you know, what did you do with your life? So everybody's really alone. In the long run, he says. In the long run, everyone's alone. That's first of all. Second of all, think how your neshama feels. You think you have it bad. Your neshama is the biggest gear of all. Your neshama is in this crazy, meshugana place where everybody is interested in things that have no value. And the neshama is screaming, you know, get me out of here, get me out of here. He's trying to knock some sense into you, into the goof. And saying, you're spoiling, you're ruining my life, the neshama's screaming. I have to go back upstairs and give a report. And you're ruining things for me. So the neshama's the ultimate ger, he says. And everybody's really a ger. That's number two. Because at the end of the day, everybody stands alone in front of the Kisei HaKavod with Hashem. And it's just them. Who you know and who you palled around with and who, you know, all the outer trappings of social interrelationships or even family, right? Some he's talking to the person that's alone in terms of family too, someone that didn't get married, someone that didn't have children. It's just a different part of life. Have children, you don't have children, but ultimately the children don't. It's you. It's what you are and what you did with your life and what you did with your soul. That's number three, two. Then number three is, he says, really a very, it's very hard to hear what he now says. It's going to be very difficult. Especially he's talking from a man's point of view. So it's going to sound like he's attacking women. But it's just that he's a man, so he says it from the perspective of a man. If the Chovas HaLavda would have been a woman, he would have said the same thing, but he just would have said it from the perspective of a woman, because it's still true. So we're learning the Seif, and the Seif is written from a male chauvinistic perspective, from the viewpoint of a man. But realize that he's saying a universal truth, and it's just as true with the shoe on the, you know, with the shoe on the other foot. A woman can say the same thing, and it's almost painful what he says. He says, this person should say to himself, Hashem has given me the greatest gift in the world. Why? Even if he's like a person that wants to make money and wants to enjoy life, so he can do better if he's alone. He doesn't have the burden of a family. He doesn't have the burden of relationships. It's a burden many times. They have expectations of you. They certainly have demands on your time. So a person, again, he's talking about a person who finds himself or herself in that situation, and he's teaching how a Baal Bitachon thinks. A Baal Bitachon says, this is great. I told you, like, when I chapped after a few weeks, I said this last week, in my year of Avelus, I chapped after a few weeks. I'm free from the burden of going to weddings. I said, well, this is great. This is great. I can't go. I just gained like 20 hours a month. I gained my life just gained 20 hours a month. Because it was a tkufa when my friends were getting married. I don't have to go. He says, Venimsa, so it's good. He doesn't have the burden, the social burden of those relationships. V'mhoisa shifos v'nyona olam haba, certainly if he's focused on olam haba, so certainly he's unburdened with olam hazeh responsibilities. He's unburdened with the heaviness of daily life, because if he doesn't have those relationships, if he's alone, so he's plain and partial, he's less burdened. The libri poni lekach be'ez pedidusol beli safek. So he's alone, and he could, you know, he's with Hashem. He's not, you know, he could, he's free. He's free to listen to tapes of Torah. He's free to think about Hashem. He doesn't have anything and anyone bothering him. So he has an opportunity he has to exploit. Now, this is very, like, we cringe when we hear it. But remember, first of all, two things are very important to remember. He's talking to a person in that situation, how he should cope with it. Also, it's important to know that it's true. Chazal Vovos is not playing tricks and games, and you know, he's not lying to the guy or gal. There's truth to this. It's just, right, there's another side which we're going to learn about in the next paragraph. Chaim Zolotz knows we're going to learn the next paragraph where he says what a person who's saddled with responsibilities, how that person should think, and what the Baal Bitachon says when they can't breathe and they can't daven a Shmona Esrei because there's so many demands on their time and their koicha. So what does the Baal Bitachon do about that? That's in the next paragraph. Now he's talking about the other extreme. But it's all true. He's not lying. He's not like, there's not a, like a handbook how to fool yourself. It's true. So what we should do when we learn this is extract the truth of it and say, okay, this is not normal, and I certainly don't want to live that way, and I'm happy I'm not living that way. But let's say the husband goes away for a few days with the kids. I don't know, let's dream. No, you find yourself, or you, some women in the shul, I know, just Puk now went to America, like I know, well, went away. So like, they're alone now, right? And they don't have their responsibilities. What I'm saying is, let's take what he's saying, and when the situation arises, when we're alone, even if it's for a day, even if it's for 15 minutes, the kids went to school, the husband's out of the house, you get to sit down now and drink your coffee, look at the paper, I don't know what, you know. When you have, everybody has that, like, first moment in the morning when you can breathe. The kids, right, everybody. So you're alone now. So, you know, wait a second, this is an opportunity. Maybe you're only going to be alone for 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, the phone's going to ring, or you have to go to work, or you have to start preparing lunch. But you have a half hour, maybe. So, you know, you have the half hour. So maybe you should use this half hour for things, for thinking about Hashem, thinking about what your purpose in life is, thinking about where you're holding in life. It's very scary. You see, this is called Hizbodidus, right? The Breslava have made a science out of this. But the Chavis Halbodidus is recommending Hizbodidus. He's saying, so he's talking to the person who has to be Hizbodidus. He finds himself in that situation. He has no relationships. But he says, you know, Hizbodidus is a fine thing. And he would recommend Hizbodidus, you know, for 20 minutes. What do the Breslava do? I don't know, 20 minutes a day they go into Hizbodidus. And they think about Hashem, and they think about themselves, and where they're holding. So that's what we should do when we learn this Chavis Halbodidus. We should, it's true what he's saying. So it's not the way most people live, because it's not normal life. But let's learn from it that there's benefit in it. And therefore, when we find ourselves in that situation, you and I, right? I'm on the bus every day, right? Right? So I have Hizbodidus every day, let's say for 2 hours. I have forced Hizbodidus. So let's forget about the fact that I always fall asleep. We won't talk about that. But that's what it is, right? That's what it is. It's forced Hizbodidus. I'm not schmoozing to the guy next to me. You know, you're on a bus, everybody wants to. You go on the bus and everybody's sitting alone, and it all fills up. It's not just because of the physical space that people would like. It's also, they don't want to start, most of the time, they don't want to start talking, you know. You want to be alone a little. It's a very good thing to be alone, but you have to utilize it. Utilize it for good things. Utilize it for thinking about Hashem. Even if you just think about Hakaras Hatov Tashem, you sit back and you say, wow, married, have a family, there's parnosa coming in, I have a roof over my head, I'm living in Eretz Yisrael. And you're like, that's okay, that's what he's talking about. That's his boldedus. You're alone, and you know, people go into a car, so the first thing they do is turn on the radio. First thing they do is spoil, or a tape. So they spoil their Hizbodidus. It's not so bad to be alone with your thoughts. The truth is, psychologists say, and Bali Musar say, we're afraid to be alone with our thoughts. We're afraid. Who knows? We're afraid, because we'll start thinking, and then we'll start having guilt trips, and I should be doing this, and this is really... We'll start feeling guilty, so we want to drown out things, and we just put on a tape, a loud tape, or the radio, or listen to the news. So his bodhidus that he's talking about is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You have to know how to use it. You know, when you think about all the... You start thinking about... I'm taking a different focus now. You think about all the gedolim that didn't have children. There seems to be an inordinate amount of gedolim that didn't have children. Chazon Ish didn't have children. Baruch Rebbe didn't have children. Satmar Rav didn't have children. It's like weird. But who knows, you know? Chavis Halbodidus is saying, you know, so their attitude would have been, you know, children certainly take away... He should think, you know, Hashem wanted me to develop myself and just devote myself to my own self-development, to my own Talmidim. So certainly a person with children is going to think differently. But there is some truth. It's a true thing. So therefore we should extrapolate it and extract from it when we could be Hizbodidus. And sometimes we can create our own Hizbodidus. I'm saying when I'm sitting on a bus, I'm not alone. Like 50 people around me, but you know, you can be alone in a group of 50 people. Also, you could be alone. No one's talking to you. You're alone with your thoughts. You can wake up in the middle of the night. So I don't know. Sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep. So you don't have to take a paper and read an Irish Kitan or a magazine. You could practice what the Chavis Halbodidus wants you to practice. You could be a Breslover. Think, be Hizbodidus. Maybe it'll, you'll fall back asleep. Wonderful. It's a good thing to think and to be alone with your thoughts. That's what he's saying. Ulafikach, he says, now he really talks radically. There were ascetics, ba'olam, that would leave their homes and their families and go el haharim into the hills. It's not even clear he's talking about Jews now. He's not. There's a shar ha'prishus in Chodesh Halvavos, which maybe we'll learn one day. Who knows? In shar ha'prishus, he does not recommend doing this. He does not say leave your home and your family and go to the hills, because that's not normal. that's not the way you're supposed to live. So it could be he's talking about even non-Jews, or he could be he's talking about, you know, like have a nazir, so you're supposed to drink wine. A person could drink wine and can, you know, enjoy life, but there are people who want to be nazirim, right? They want to fast every Monday and Thursday, or they want to be nazirim, and they want to be that much more removed from Olam Hazeh. So maybe there were people like that also, that every once in a while would go away from their families, El Heharim, to the mountains, Kadesh Tispane, Libon, La'avodas Hashem. And they would, as I said, they would think about Hashem. We don't even know what it means to think about Hashem. It's true. He talks about that in his Hakdama to the whole Sefer. That a person is supposed to spend time thinking about Hashem. If you tell someone to think about Hashem, they wouldn't know what to think about. So, you know, for us, it's enough right now to say you can think of it. It's a wonderful thing to think about that Hashem is responsible for everything in your life, and to be makir tov for the fact that you exist and for the fact that you have a life, and, you know, all the good things in your life that are happening, and you start appreciating all the good things. You start thinking of the people who don't have it as good and so good, and you well up with hodah to Hashem. That's what we should think about. You should also think about achdus Hashem, but that's already heavy, and that's too heavy for us. The Kachayon Neviim, when Neviim said Nevuah, what did they do? They would leave their homes, umizbodedim lechovosum klape Hashem, and they would be bizbodedus, and they would be in solitude and just them and Hashem. Because I'm saying, even when a person is in a crowd, or any time a person's alone, either way, you could focus and say it's, I'm with Hashem. I'm, you know, that's my partner. Fishiadata, he says, look, mi parshas Eliyahu Elisha, shenemar olav hu choresh nemer satzmodim lefanav. Elisha was busy in the field, busy with parnasa, busy with plowing the field. Vu b'shneim ha'aser, he had this whole charisha manufacturing going on, 12 pairs of oxen. The kasher remez lo Eliyahu remez kalbo, when Eliyahu Hanavi said, come, I'm going to make you my Talmud, haven also, he understood that he has to free himself of all entanglements. That to reach that madrega of nevuah, where you literally talk to Hashem, and Hashem talks to you, so he understood he has to free himself of those entanglements. The Amar lo eshkena lo abilimi, let me kiss my parents goodbye. The elcha achrecha, and I'll go with you. He understood he's leaving home now. The Amar vayelech achrei Eliyahu vayesher sehu. So he understood that should be done. I'm saying. So again, he's telling the person who finds himself in that situation how to appreciate the situation and utilize it. I know in America there's a phenomenon that the wife goes to the bungalow colony, right? And the husband stays home a whole week. So he's bizbodedus. That's his opportunity. And the wife's also bizbodedus. She doesn't have the husband on her head. So you have these opportunities to think about life, to think about where you're holding. So he says that's how the person who, you know, we call it unfortunately, is alone, but that's what the Chavis Halavis' point is. He shouldn't think of it as being unfortunate. And he's saying people did it lechatchila. Ascetics did it lechatchila. And they should serve as a role model, not for how we should live constantly, or else the Chavis Halavis and Shah HaPrishus would have said, would have recommended doing this, and he doesn't recommend doing it. But there are Yechidei Skula that do it, and it's a lesson to us that we can do it to whatever degree that we can do it, whether it's a half hour a day or a half hour a week, or once in a while when we wake up in the middle of the night and the house is very quiet and the baby's not crying, and you know, you can sit down yourself and think. That's what he recommends doing. And the Vim did it lechatchila. To reach that madrega of communing with Hashem, they had to break away from their family. They had to free themselves of all those responsibilities that drag you away from Hashem. There's no question that it does. So again, soon he'll talk about how to think about it when you're overburdened with such things. But now he's talking, it's a mila. It's a mila if you don't have those responsibilities, those relationships. That's how, think positively about it, that Hashem's providing you with an opportunity to be bezbodedus with him, and to, so you should take advantage of it and be happy about it and think of it as a matana from Hashem. Now he has a paragraph that tells a very strange story. For Amru, it's again, it's the same point, but he tells a story. The Chavis Halavis' stories are apocryphal. They probably never happened. But he, it was like a legend that was set over. So again, it's not even that clear that we're talking about Jews, even in the story. Because by the Christian, the early Christian sects, there were definitely ascetics, right? They even, there's names of... right, the Essenes, something like that. They would go away, talk away from their families, and they would do what he's talking about as an old, really have monks do it. Right, you go to these monasteries and they have monks, and they sit and they meditate, and face in the Far East, the Himalayas, or I don't know. I was never in a monastery, but. Could be they have there also people. So we don't do that. That's not the Jewish way, and Chavis Halavis himself doesn't say to do it as a normal way of living. But there is something to it. So to us that would mean to snatch when it happens to us, whether it's for 15 minutes or for an hour or for 2 days a year, when... Didn't you once make a retreat? Where is it? I made a retreat for women. They went away.
Went on a retreat. I didn't make it.
Oh. Right? So you were, but there's more than that. You went away from your responsibilities. It was good. With permission from your husband. Yeah. It was good. So you see? It was good. So for 2 days, it's a good thing. But I'm not going to ask you if you thought about Hashem those 2 days, because you were busy in the spa, probably. But that's okay. Okay. But that's what Chavis Halavis is saying. That's what we're learning. That's a time to think about what you're doing with your life, and you know where you're headed, and if you're basically on the right path. And you can only do that because both of us, when you're at home, and the phone, you read the Chavis Halavis and you start saying, maybe the cell phone's not such a good idea. Right? A person used to have a few minutes of solitude when he wasn't near a phone. Now there's no such thing. Everywhere you are, the phone will ring, and you're back with your entanglements. So we're living in a strange world. Ever since they invented the electric light, Edison, wasn't so long ago. Was it 150 years ago? No, it wasn't that long ago. the electric light. So there's no more night. People don't sleep enough. You used to go to sleep at night. Be well rested, healthy. Now people don't sleep. The cell phone, really. That's why everybody's so stressed. Because there's no rest. There's no rest. You can't rest. There's no respite from life, from responsibilities. That's what it seems like. So he's saying it's a person who finds himself unentangled should take advantage of the opportunity, should look at it the right way. So Echad Me'aprushim, he tells a funny story where one of the ascetics, Nichnas Le'er, he went to a city, and he thought, I don't know why he sets up the story that way. He went to be madrich them how to live. L'hadrich li'oshveho l'avodas Hashem, Yisala. He went to teach them how to live. But they ended up teaching him. They were like way ahead of him. Why the story goes that way, I don't know. It's not like it happened. Motzam loifshim seva echad. So he saw this like community of people, basically that had uniforms. You know, like the girls in high school. Everybody was dressed the same. Loshim seva echad, all one color, one type of clothing, be'edyam, with their jewelry, with their adornments, ulavushim, and their clothing. Okay, that's number one. He saw they're all dressed the same. They had uniforms. V'ra kivrehim li'at pischei boteim, and unlike the usual, where the Beis HaKvaris is on the outskirts of the city, everyone had like a small little cemetery by his front door. If you think about it, instead of a garden bed, they had a cemetery. What?
Wouldn't be a problem for the
Kohen. Below Ra Isha Benam, and it was only men. I'm saying this is written from a male perspective. There were no women around. Shalom al Kach, he said, it's a pretty strange city you got here. Umrlo, so they told him, the reason we wear uniforms, lo lavashnu begadim etzeva echad ele kadei shlo yehevdel bein ani lo asher b'neinu. We don't want any class system, like a communist society. We don't want people, they said we don't want people to be balei gaiva. We don't want the usher to think he's a better person. Why do schools wear uniforms? Right? Because they don't want the people to worry about style. They don't want the richer girls to wear, and then there's competition. So they said, we want uniforms. We don't want the usher to think he's a better person than the ani. He won't feel like he's a better person. And the ani won't lose self-esteem. Right? So we don't want the usher to be a balgaiva. We don't want the ani to feel bad about himself. So like this, everybody dresses the same. Uniforms. They said, you know, when you're buried, everybody's wearing the same clothing then. So this is a good thing. Everybody is the same. Right? The great equalizer. The grave is the great equalizer. That's number one. Then he tells the Kfar Omar Alech Rashalitim, one of the kings that would walk around his subjects, Shlo Yibodol Mehem. He walked around his subjects dressed plainly. And his purpose was, fear none of, he should realize he's really the same as them. You need a melech maybe, but he's not a better person than they are. So the way you dress, and the way, I guess, part of that is the way you carry yourself is part of that. Okay, that's number one. Putting the Beis HaKvaris al yad pischeinu, where we live, is that we should always remember Yom HaMisa, which is always a good thing. So we should remember what's important, what's not important, what the real purpose of life is, that we're here for a very short time, relatively speaking. So this is a constant reminder. The point of the Chavis HaLo, this is, I guess, the third point. Again, it's going to sound harsh to our ears, both because it's not a normal way to live, which we said already, the Chavis HaLo, this agrees to that 1,000%. But also, again, it's written from the male perspective. So he says that we don't have women here or children He says, we have a place for them right next door, in the next city. We fulfill our responsibilities. They're comfortable. We take care of all their needs. They're taken care of. And whenever there's a need for us to go there, for whatever reason, so we go. And we take care of what we need to, but we come back here. Machmas, why? Shiroinu, they said, Mashhein Mavio Soleinu Mitirdus HaMachshava, because when we're with a family, so we're burdened, and we can't devote ourselves to what's really important. So we fulfill all of our achrayos, and they said, but like this, you know, if we ever have to go there, we think twice if we want, if there's a worthwhile reason to make the trip. The hasasa hagadola, and it takes us away from things of real value. Verov ha-ma'amosa v'ha-torach b'kirvosan, and we have to. All the things that are part and parcel of the baggage of having a family. So I'm saying it sounds very, very harsh. And certainly it's not a normal way to live. We should look at it, though, and think. You know, sometimes, sometimes there is too much of a... I get myself into trouble now. I was speaking to someone tonight who came to speak to me, not from the shul, and he wanted to go through his day with me. So you ladies are going to kill me for this. He went through his day. So he learns in the morning, he works a couple hours, then he goes to learn, and everything's fine. But so he wanted to know, like, he needs to work more. So I said, yeah, you have to work more. You're not making ends meet. You have to work more. So where you know, where does he cut the cloth from? You know, where does he take those hours from? So I went through his day with him. It turned out he was spending from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. with his wife and children. I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said, you know, I'm all for a good relationship, but I never heard of someone spending 4 hours a day with their wife and children. It's not normal. Shouldn't be necessary. I said, first of all, when you're away, just like when you're working, so your wife doesn't feel lonely because she knows you're working for her. So she feels you're with her, right? You're part of her life. Because you're in some office somewhere and you're working, but you're working for her. Like, you're not like the guy in the Chaim Salvodis that lives himself in a one room flat and has no responsibilities. You want your husband, he puts food on the table, he buys clothing, he pays the rent, you know. So I said, I don't think there's a feeling of estrangement or loneliness, I hope not, when he's away working. So he said, so, you know, so when you're away learning, she should feel the same way. She should feel you're doing it for her also. She's enabling you to do it. Just like the gevir gives money and feels rightfully so. This is not just a placebo. The gevir feels rightfully so that he is part of their learning, and they're learning to him too, when he feels connected to the people learning. So every wife feels that way. But to spend, to sit at home, I said, what do you do? What do you do for 4 hours? Tell me. So I said, learn with your wife. You know what? If your wife has that need, so certainly you are mechuyev to provide it for her. I said, I don't know the guy. He's not from the shul. I said, I don't know you. I don't know your wife. I don't know what her needs are. Could be she has an emotional need that you're filling, and you're mechuyev to fill it. But so learn with her. Let her be your chevrusa. I said, what do you sit around talking for 3 hours a night? What? In Baruch Shalom. I said, that's, he has too much time there. Anyway, I told him, you want to know what I told him? I told him to work more when he's learning. Take hours off of learning and work more. and he should learn at night in the living room with a chavrusa. I said, your wife's not going to feel alone, even if she's in the kitchen, but if you're in the living room with a chavrusa, she's going to feel like you're there for her. I said, she doesn't really need you to talk to her for 3 hours. Come on, please. She needs you. She doesn't need you. She'll be around. So be around in the living room, and she'll serve you tea and cookies, and you know she'll feel like she'll listen in. She can call you into the kitchen if she has a question to ask you. You know, you're there. So take away some time from learning in the afternoon, work, and then stay home. And at night, get a chavrusa and be in the living room. I said, I'll bet you that's good enough. Yeah.
I doubt they're sitting and talking for 4 hours.
Right, so what are they doing?
Helping her with the family, no?
No, that's till 7. From 6 to 7, the kids are in bed by 7, 7.30.
Wow.
And he's with her till 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know. It's not normal.
It's not like laundry and...
So it's not right? No.
No.
A man should not help his wife with laundry and household things for 2.5 hours a night. I'm sorry. Sorry to say it. Anyway, but getting back to the Chavis Halvav, let me sum up what the Chavis Halvav has said here. So he's talking about like really extreme, right? The guy dumped his wife and kids outside the city and provided for them, and whenever he had to, whenever there was any need, he would go there. Okay, so that's the story. And the ascetic said, that's wonderful. Okay, we'll stop here. I'll just repeat what I said. The Chavis Halvav does not recommend doing this, but he's making a point. He came to talk about this because he's talking how a Baal Bitachon deals with being lonely and how he should realize that he should look at the bright side and how wonderful it is. And people who have families and relationships and social obligations and entanglements are burdened with everyday life and can't devote themselves. I beg your pardons. I have to say something. There's no escaping that the bottom line is that the purpose of life is to become closer to Hashem. We have to remember that. And that's as harsh and as weird and as extreme as everything sounds, I have to tell you that. I'm the rabbi. There's no escaping that truth. I mean, ultimately, that's true. Now, there's different paths to take to become close to Hashem. And next week, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll learn about how someone who's burdened and saddled with a family and with all the burdens of everyday life, how they should, what their attitude should be, and how they should turn it to the good, and they do chesed every second, and they're thanking Hashem for giving them the good things, and nachas, and family, and how they should help people, and how much they can do for others. Here he's talking about the person. His main point is to guide the person who's all alone in the world. And then he segues into the idea of his bodedus, because it's true that there's a good side to it. And I'm putting into perspective these paragraphs. He then segues into talking about the ascetics, who taka were poresh from entanglements, from relationships, and how good it is. And so I'm saying we should extract from it two things. First of all, that there's something to be said for it. And therefore, if we find ourselves in a situation where we can do it, you wake up in the middle of the night, you have 15, you can't sleep, use it for what he talks about. Think about good things. Think about Hashem. Think about how lucky you are. Think about the good things in your life. It's okay. You don't have to clap al chait. No one's talking about that. Think about Hashem. Think about how everything that happens in the think about, you know, if I'd be a good teacher, I would say, write down 2 instances of Hashgacha Pratis that happened to you that day. My wife, want to hear a story? My wife is dealing with a Matzevet Pnim, it's called. She's dealing with an interior decorator for something. So it's very hard to get hold of, because these people are like absolutely impossible to get hold of. So she called her up today, and she was stuck in a gas station where she was waiting for a tow truck. So my wife ran there, and they had 3 hours alone till the tow truck came. Hashgacha Pratis. So you can sit at night and think about Hashgacha Pratis that happened to you that day, and you can thank Hashem for the good things in your life. It's good. Okay, that's one point we should extract from this. And he doesn't recommend doing what he talks about, but it's good to be bezbodedus. There's something to be said for it. Realize it has its milus, and therefore, A, take advantage of it when it exists, and B, try to lighten up on the entanglements. Maybe you don't have to go to every chasana. Maybe you don't have to be so involved in everything that's going on. It's a cheshbon. Everything you're involved in may be taking you away from things that are more important, maybe more spiritually oriented, maybe from your families even, right? If your spiritual connection to Hashem is taking care of your family, then maybe you shouldn't have so many friends. Maybe it takes you away from your family. So realize that there's this trade-off. So that's another thing that we could learn from the Chovos HaLevavos that we just learned. Even though, again, his whole thing was only, was only talking to the person who's in that situation, how he could look at it positively and look at the bright side and optimistically and say Gamzu L'tova. But these things that he says have some truth to it, and we should use them in measure whenever we have an opportunity to. Okay, I went over time. Now, any questions? We should close the tape recorder for questions.